Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome on into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk this April 17th on a Wednesday, getting ready for just 8 days away from the NFL draft. Nobody does it bigger and better than us right here at WWL. Starts next Thursday, 4 o'clock. You can join Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas for the Saints Draft Preview Show. That has head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, and the Saints top brass. Trust me, this is appointment listening for any Saints fan. And we got some exciting locations for WWL's Draft Fest next Thursday. We'll be live from Las Cruces, Tex-Mex in Metairie. Then on Friday, we'll be at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. And on Saturday for the final day of the draft, team up with Team WWL at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Deuce McAllister, NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and myself, Steve Geller. Wall-to-wall draft coverage starting next Thursday on WWL Saints Radio. And of course, you can catch that on the always free Odyssey app. Transitioning over to the baseball diamond, LSU getting a 6-3 victory over UNO. UNO yesterday. Lost track of the midweek opponent there for a second. Tigers getting three home runs in the game, coming back. We're down early in the matchup, but end up coming away, like I said, with the 6-3 victory. Unfortunately, not too great of an outing for Thatcher Hurd. The pitcher continues to struggle. He tossed two innings, gave up two runs, walked two, had one strikeout, ended up facing seven batters. His ERA on the year right now is at 6.75. It's been really downhill considering what he was able to do for this team in the College World Series a year ago, but that Thatcher Hurd just hasn't materialized this season.
I think Joe Healy came on, the D1 baseball reporter, and said that that's looking more and more like it was the outlier in Thatcher Hurd's career.
Right.
Unfortunately, because Thatcher was the Friday guy to start the season, everyone had really high expectations for him. He got moved a little bit down the rotation. Gage Jump had jumped him for the Saturday start, and then he moved down to Sunday. Luke Holman ended up being the Friday guy, and now he's kind of like pitched around. Like, we don't know if he's really locked in as a Sunday guy. Nate Ackenhausen was the Sunday starter this past weekend, and he had a really strong performance. That might be his job. So maybe Thatcher becomes the midweek starter, and he's a guy that's used out of the bullpen. He's been used out of the bullpen a couple times this year too. They're still trying to figure out what to do with Thatcher Hurd, and it's because his performances have been pretty inconsistent.
LSU getting ready for a trip to Missouri this weekend. Head coach Jay Johnson spoke to the media early today. Here's a little clip of what he had to say heading into the matchup.
Going on the road, facing Missouri, what do you expect to see from them?
You know, I'll start to dive into them tonight. Honestly, like right now, all my focus is on our players and our team and helping them. I think we do a really good job scouting. I do, and we'll get to that. I think Coach Jackson, you know, some people have familiarity with him around here because he was at Southern. Very good coach, very intelligent. I've said this before, teams with first-year coaches, there's kind of like an innocence to that first year and connection, I think, that's strong, and it appears that they have that. I mean, they swept Florida 2 weeks ago, got a win at Georgia. So I expect a great challenge. Never played there before. So don't know a whole lot of what to expect about the environment and those types of things. So we'll get there early and dig into that.
Last week, I think you talked about just making it, I don't want to say simplifying the process, but you were breaking it down to accomplishing goal per inning.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that took root?
You know, it's really an interesting dynamic evaluating this thing right now. You know, obviously we're the defending or reigning national champions. Certainly a high standard. I do believe we have good players. You know, the schedule's been tough. Like, and, you know, we expect to win every game that we play, but it's been tough. And so you have to kind of look at it as, like, the play and the game. And yet, you know, the opponents that we've played, you know, particularly on the road, I think they're 2-3 or whatever, and it may make it hard in some areas of the game. Looking back at last weekend, the positives, obviously I thought we were much better from a starting pitching perspective. I thought Gage did a good job. It didn't help him on defense because we were trying to ignite a little bit of offense. I thought Luke was exceptional, obviously. You know, and then, you know, Griffin, you know, gave up the hit, but then, you know, kind of did what he's done the rest of the time out of the pen. I thought Nate did a nice job on Sunday. I mean, that was not a friendly place to pitch on Sunday. And out of the bullpen, I mean, just some of our more talented guys, it's starting to take as skill you can use in the game, and we're going to keep going to those guys. And I thought last night's game, the pitchers did a really good job, like really good job. And some of those guys needed a good outing last night, and was very happy about that. Offensively, I still think we have a lot to do better. And, you know, but really for what we're moving with the team is we're going to be incredibly positive. We're going to communicate really well and be really consistent, you know, with them and what we're trying to do, because they really, the players need that right now.
Over the years, Coach, when things haven't gone your way, what do you have to, yourself personally, pitfalls that you have to guard against?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and a couple weeks ago, I actually said this, like, you know, this has been such a great program. Like, you wonder if they ever had a tough stretch, like, honestly. Like, you know, it's always been a lot of good fortune. And so I feel like, hey, you know what, I'm actually equipped to this, because almost made the NCAA tournament one year with a team that had a 6.36 ERA. That was not easy, you know. And it was very similar where I think UCLA was number one. We had to play them on the road. Arizona State was number three. Had to play them on the road. Now the Pac-12 has changed a lot in the last 3 years. But we got through that, and we won 13 of our last 14 games. That year. And then staying with it. So kind of what I've just come to is, like, what do these players need right now? It doesn't matter what Jay Johnson thinks we should do. Like, what do they need and how to help them? And that is my entire focus. And, you know, I'm having a lot of player meetings, one-on-one meetings today. This is a 15-minute break in it. I've been going since 9, and I'm going to go till practice, then I'll go after practice and then meet with everybody else once we get to Missouri to try to help those guys out.
I know you've talked about how so much of this is just player-oriented and just trying to get those guys in a better headspace. Mm-hmm. Is part of that have anything to do, I guess, with maybe having like a 2 or 3 minute conversation about what's still attainable in this season? Or
yeah, you know, like we've done a lot of stuff, you know, and I tried to, I want to say this was Sunday against Vanderbilt, which was gonna be a tough game. It was a friggin' brutal loss Friday night, easily the worst one of the year. That in Florida tied for first. Sunday or Saturday, I think it was Saturday, came in for game three, and I was like, okay, look, like, here's what we need to do to play in the postseason. And then I drew out the entire schedule, and then it's like, okay, then you're going to a regional where you're not playing a team from our league. I think we're going to win, like, honestly. Like, there's 12 teams, maybe 13, maybe 14 in our league that could win a regional. The problem is we're playing all of them, and just the way the schedule, we're playing the top half of them. It's just the way that it worked out. It's, no, it is what it is. So we got to step up, find a way to get through this stretch. We've been great outside of the league. I think we're 20-3. There's not many teams in the country that are 20-3 non-conference. So we kind of went to that, but then it's about knowing what's best for your team. Like, and what's best for a team is getting them, like, hey man, they have the support of our coaches. We're going to keep trying to, like, dial in their play and keep them in the moment. You know what I mean? And so I think at that point, I felt like after a tough loss, like they needed to have some hope of what was still out there. But it still comes back to baseball. And then, like, this is a tough weekend. That was a tough weekend this weekend. And doesn't mean all was bad, but, you know, it's a team that's it's their time right now. I put Arkansas in the same boat. It's their time. We're not that far away, and yet we're far away. And what I mean by that is, like, there's some optimism in going, like, if a team is at that point and you're playing them on the road and you're the defending champ and you're getting everything they have, I mean, you eliminated them in Omaha, you're getting everything that they have, that there were some wins right there. So then how do you get over the hump? It comes back to baseball, and it comes back to those inflection points, and it comes back to helping guys be in tune with what they need to do to execute. And right now, like, they need my support. Like, they do, and that's what they're going to get.
LSU head coach Jay Johnson and the Tigers getting ready for a trip to Missouri. The other Tigers from Mizzou, they are 5-10 in SEC play. LSU just 3-12, looking to expand on that, obviously, to keep any kind of NCAA tournament postseason hopes alive. And I guess, really, Charlie, at this point, I think you got to be hoping to make the SEC tournament and maybe having a heck of a run there.
The road to Hoover, I mean, it's tough. It really is, because right now you wouldn't be in it if the season ended today. So
wild to think about.
Yeah, I mean, this was the number two team entering the, you know, regular season. So, and as Jay said, they've been really good out of conference. It's been a matter of this brutal, brutal conference stretch. When we were previewing it, those 4 weeks against Florida and then Vanderbilt and Tennessee and Arkansas thrown in there as well, just like, tread water, right? Go 6-6. That's what we want from those 4 weeks. They did not, in fact, do that. They, I believe, let me double check, they went 2-10. So, yeah, I mean, you're in trouble. You have a lot of work to do, but as Coach Johnson mentioned, there's still plenty of season left. There's 18 games left. There are 5 weeks of conference play plus the midweek matchups, and they all mean something. But to get back on that path to the postseason, it's got to start this weekend against Mizzou.
Amen to that. We're going to get some a national perspective from some hardball from Teddy Kelly Hill, who's a national writer for the Baseball America, when we get back from this break right here on WWL. Talk to you then.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Welcome in now, Teddy Cahill, national writer for Baseball America. How have you been, Teddy?
It's been a great season so far. Lots of twists and turns, so can't complain too much.
Definitely been a great season. Happy baseball is back, but LSU fans might debate you on how great it's been. The defending champs have had a rough start, obviously, right now. Just 3 wins in conference play, something I don't know. I don't think anybody saw this coming, obviously, at the start of the season.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I thought LSU was playing outstanding going into SEC play. I really believed in them coming into the season as well, and it hasn't quite come together for them at all.
When you look at it, it's been pitching, it's been hitting. Nothing seems to be coming together for this squad, and a lot of people have already been, I guess, engaged or hit the panic button about what lies ahead now. What does this mean for, you know, the postseason hopes for a squad that's only got 3 wins in conference play? Is there still hope, Teddy, that this team can turn it around and be an NCAA tournament-type team?
So, I mean, there's definitely hope. The second half of the SEC schedule is easier than the first half. Now, that's relative. It's not like things get incredibly easy now that they're into the second half of league play. But, you know, they are better than what they've played so far, but they have to be a lot better than that. They have to get the wins on the board, because they basically have to go 10-5 now. Like, that's basically what the next 5 weekends boil down to. I think there's been one SEC team ever to get in with just 12 conference wins, and Alabama, the year that they did it, only played 29 games so that they could at least say that they were 12-17 as opposed to 12-18. So in 13 is the mark you've got to be looking at right now. And I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's not going to be easy.
When you look at their next matchup this weekend, heading to Missouri, like you said, things might be getting a little easier for LSU, but these other Tigers aren't so shabby either, even though their record is just 5-10.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that's 2 more wins than LSU has.
Right.
But second of all, yes, this is a team that swept Florida 2 weeks ago in Columbia. And they can pitch really, really well. The lineup leaves a lot to be desired. If you look at their hitting numbers, they're not very good at that, but they certainly have the arms to compete.
Yeah, Teddy, I mean, just doing a deep dive onto this Missouri squad, they have some interesting wins, I would say, this year. They won at Georgia for one of those 3 games in Athens, and Georgia's obviously a really solid team this year. They're the only team to beat Kentucky in conference play this year, which just is stunning. Obviously, Kentucky off to a ridiculous 14-1 start in SEC play. That one loss came to Missouri, and then, as you mentioned as well, they swept Florida. I would call them kind of like a frisky bunch, I guess you would say, just because, as you mentioned, their offense isn't very good. They're hitting around .255 as a team. But their pitching staff is okay. Like, they can pitch it. At the same time, LSU needs their A game to get things back and rolling. And, I mean, just listening to what Jay Johnson was saying, yes, the first half of their schedule was very front-loaded. I mean, we'll get into the rest of their schedule here, but, I mean, this weekend is so important. Not even just taking 2 or 3. You may have to sweep this series.
I mean, they're in a position where they can't afford to take anyone lightly, basically. There are no easy weekends. They can't look at any weekend as being that way. And they also can't start looking and saying we have to sweep series, because right now they don't even have an SEC series win. You gotta start somewhere. They win the first 2, then they can start talking about how, like, this is a great opportunity. But right now, this is a team that just needs to put SEC wins on the scoreboard.
No, obviously, but I mean, the path to 10 or even 11 wins in these final 15 games at Mizzou versus Auburn versus Texas A&M, the number 1 team in the country, at Alabama, the number 18 team in the country, who, by the way, just took a series from Arkansas, and then versus Ole Miss, like, you need to start piling wins over the next 2 weekends if you're going to go 10-5 or 11-4. Like, that's kind of my point.
That's fair, but you're talking about an SEC road series. You can't go in there and say that this is a must sweep. Like, if you're in that position, you've already lost, basically. In the SEC this year, if you look at the numbers, the home teams have an incredible advantage. They've won far more series than they've lost. And going in and asking to sweep any team on the road is it's just an incredibly tall order, no matter whether we're talking about going into Arkansas or going into Missouri.
Yeah, the Tigers have been, we said, a surprise this year in a negative fashion. What are some other team or teams in this SEC that have been a positive surprise for you this year?
I mean, it starts with Kentucky.
Right.
You know, it's a team that's 14-1, which, I mean, frankly, if that any team was 14-1, that would be kind of surprising. And then the fact that it's Kentucky is all the more surprising. They've pitched it at a really high level, but they're more than that. Like, I think a lot of times we just look at the arms and say, like, wow, like, they're so good on the mound. But you know, this is also a team that hit 11 home runs last week at Auburn. And obviously that's a bit of a hitter's park, and Auburn's pitching is not the best this year, but Kentucky does have the ability to beat you in multiple ways. And I mean, you don't get to 14-1 by accident. So I've been really impressed by what the Wildcats have done.
Yeah, and looking also in the SEC, Texas A&M, Charlie mentioned, obviously been a dominant force. The Arkansas Razorbacks, too, have just been chugging along. They seem to just be getting it done whenever needed. I know they've gone 8-2 their last 10, and obviously top of the SEC West there at 12-3.
Yeah, I mean, I hit a speed bump at Alabama, but, you know, they've played really well all season long. It's the best pitching staff in the country. It's the deepest pitching staff in the country. And that is the hallmark of this Razorbacks team. And, you know, it's been really impressive to watch. I mean, LSU fans saw it. And, you know, what A&M is doing has been rather impressive. After they lost that series at Florida, they've been 14-2, or now 15-2 since. And they just are one of the most complete teams, if not the most complete team in the nation.
I think when we've been talking about this LSU team, like, one thing that stood out is, you know, sometimes they'll lose a really tight game and then they just lose all their confidence. And I mean, one of those things that's really struggled for them has been their clutch hitting, and, you know, especially in SEC play, it's near the bottom of the league as far as hitting with runners in scoring position. How easy is that to just turn around and get things going in the second half of this schedule?
You know, I feel like it's overly simplistic to say that, like, oh, they can just flip a switch and it'll be fine. But I also think that some of that is just luck. You know, the hitting is the hitting. And like, I don't really think it's a matter of runners in scoring position or not. Like, they just need to hit better no matter what. And, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about the clutchness or lack thereof. I know it's frustrating to leave runners on base, but like, some of that stuff is just going to even out over the course of the season. But they need to find a way to score more runs, whether that's, again, hitting with runners on base or not.
Teddy, definitely appreciate the time. Hopefully when we talk to you again, LSU's in better standings.
Absolutely. That would be a much welcome development for everyone, I'm sure.
Appreciate it and take care, man. Teddy Cahill, national writer for Baseball America, talking a little Tiger versus Tiger action coming up this weekend. Obviously, we'll have the game for you Friday right here on WWL. It'll be a 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock first pitch at Mizzou.
I don't think Teddy really understood what I was trying to say, and I'm once again going to explain it. If they need to go 10-5, right, at the very worst, to be in Hoover and maybe be on the bubble for the postseason, you need to somehow go at least 4-2, if not 5-1, in these next 2 weekends. Because you host Texas A&M, the number one team in the country.
Right.
Are you expecting to take 2 or 3 there? I'm not right now.
Right, exactly.
And then you go to Alabama, who's the number 18 team in the country, just took 2 or 3 from Arkansas. Once again, are you expecting to take 2 or 3 there? I'm not. And then you come home and host Ole Miss. Like, Ole Miss is a team that just beat Mississippi State in a weekend series. There's a lot of factors at play here. And to be able to reach postseason play, this is my point. If you're going to get 13-17, right, or 14-16 in the SEC, it's got to start now. It's got to start against Missouri. It's got to start against Auburn, teams that are 5-10 and 2-13 in SEC play. I understand that Mizzou has been kind of frisky, as I mentioned. Like, they're a better team than maybe their record says. And I think a lot of people expected them maybe to reach 5 wins by the end of the season. The fact that they're 5 wins at the midway point is pretty surprising. You still got to go there and at least take 2 of 3, if not sweep them. That's my point.
Yeah, I haven't heard really much buzz about the Missouri Tigers this season on the diamond. I'll
once
say that.
Again, they really did beat Kentucky this year. They won that game. That's the only team to have beat Kentucky. They're a top four team. I think they're top three even. And there's going to be a really fun series between Kentucky and Tennessee this weekend as well. That's in Lexington. That'll be something to keep an eye on. They're still the only SEC team to beat Kentucky. That's a fun one.
Have you gotten to watch the Wildcats at all on the diamond this year?
The Wildcats, I've watched the D1 baseball guys talk about them. And the way that they kind of phrase it is that Kentucky truly believes that they're the best team in the country, which I think is a fun way to say it. They're playing so loose. They're playing fun. Like, they're having fun playing baseball. And at times when you're watching LSU and they lose a really tough game, it looks like they want to be anywhere but the diamond. And so, like, they need to start picking up some wins. This is where they can make some hay, so to speak, in the second half of the season. They got to do it. They got to start now.
Yeah, like you mentioned, right now, this weekend at Missouri, and then you have Auburn. And after that, you're right back into the mix of the tough gauntlet with Texas A&M after that for the series. So I'm right with you there. It's like, yeah, you want winning two of three games would be nice. Obviously, they haven't done it all this season. But, man, oh, man, there's got to be a sweep in there somewhere for this team to get into NCAA 20 contention.
You've been swept twice so right. far. You got swept at Arkansas and you got swept Tennessee. Yeah. You got swept at Tennessee. Correct. So two sweeps, you got to make those games up, Steve. And, I mean, there's no real better opponent to do it on this slate than 2-13 Auburn and 5-10 Mizzou.
How does this Tiger team get that confidence, though? We like you mentioned, it's like right now they don't look like they're having fun playing ball. And well, that's obviously key.
At times. And I think that's what Jay's trying to preach. When you heard him talk, he kept saying positivity, positivity. I want to get these guys excited to play an SEC opponent because, you know, once again, they get off to a really good start at some at points in a series. And then if they lose a tight game, they just kind of crumble. And they've had a couple really bad losses. That loss to Vanderbilt, that loss to Florida, those two, game two losses, and then they get run ruled. So things can kind of go out of control with this LSU team.
Who is ready to party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is alligator. That's alligator, A-L-L-I-G-A-T-O-R. Now go to WWL.com/contest. Enter the word, register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets, plus that round-trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. WWL is giving a pair away every day this week. All you got to do is listen to Tommy Newell, Skuart, and Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day to see amazing artists like Chris Stapleton, The Killers, The Heart, Rebirth Bass Band, and more. Good luck and happy festing to all from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Coming back right after the break with more sports talk after this.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, coming your way in just eight more days, folks, is the NFL Draft. Saints fans join Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas next Thursday for the Saints Draft Preview Show with head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, and the Saints top brass like offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, defensive coordinator Joe Woods, assistant head coach and special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, and more. We'll have all that for you. The Saints Draft Preview Show next Thursday. Got to catch it 4 to 6 on your home of the New Orleans Saints, WWLAMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. What I think is real interesting about that, Charlie, is since the new offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, has been hired, the Saints have not had a press conference yet introducing him to the media. So unless there's something before draft night, this will be the first New Orleans gets to hear from Clint Kubiak with Deuce and Haas.
We've talked to a couple different new Saints players about Kubiak and his system and everything like that. But now Deuce and Haas are going to get to talk to the man himself. So that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to hearing from him, his plan for the Saints. Some NFL news today, seeing that both former Baltimore Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins is signing with the L.A. Chargers. So all of a sudden the Chargers have kind of a Ravens feel to them. They also have Gus Edwards signed over there. Austin Eckler gone from the Chargers,
yes.
I think now with Washington. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So just an interesting new backfield look for the Chargers heading into next season under Harbaugh. I'm curious to see what the Saints, if they do anything at the running back position. They obviously addressed it last year in the draft, taking Kendra Miller. You still have Jamal Williams and, of course, a guy like Alvin Kamara on the roster. But I wouldn't be surprised if this team takes a running back somewhere in the draft. I'm not saying early on, though, in the first two rounds.
For the Saints?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that at all, obviously.
No, obviously not. I don't think so at all, because you got, obviously, 14 and then 45 and then a huge gap, yeah, right, before the fifth round. Maybe you use a later round pick, like a fifth round pick on a running back if you want to take a flyer on some guy that you really like that falls down there. I mean, don't forget that Kyron Williams for L.A. was a fifth round pick, and we saw what he did this past year.
Stud, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they're in a position to use one of those premier picks on a running back. I 100% agree. It's also not the best running back class. Like, I think Mike's top-rated guy is Jonathan Brooks, who's
right,
like a clear second-round pick. Like, I just don't see it, Steve. So, no, I agree with you. And I think that it's also pretty interesting that signing of J.K. Dobbins, circling back around to the Chargers real quick, Mike and I have talked a little bit about, you know, L.A. and their position that they're in with the fifth overall pick in the draft. Will they trade down? Will they stay put? And if they stay put, who do they take? Their receiver room is super depleted, right? Like, you're looking at Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer. Like, they get rid of Mike Williams. They get rid of Keenan Allen in the offseason. So who's left? I could see them potentially staying put. Mike is pretty convinced that they're going to take Joe Alt if they stay at pick five, the left tackle from Notre Dame, the top tackle of the class. It would be interesting if they did, in fact, do that. I still think that they're the spot to trade down. Like, if the Vikings want to trade up to pick five and take J.J. McCarthy and jump, you know, the Giants at pick six to make sure that they get their quarterback of the future, they move from pick 11 and pick 23 that they got from the Texans. That makes a lot of sense to me. And if you're the Chargers at that point, you move down to pick 11 and you still get a stud tackle, whether that be Talisa Fuanga or Olu Fashanu or Troy Fautanu, whoever you decide to go with. And then at pick 23, you can take maybe even Brian Thomas Jr. if he's there, or A.D. Mitchell, or one of those top receivers still off the board. I think they could potentially get the best of both worlds. Instead of taking either Jawalt or Malik Nabers, they still get elite players at super loaded positions with offensive tackle and wide receiver if they were to trade down.
You mentioned, obviously, offensive tackle, the biggest glaring need for the Saints. Curious to see if they end up staying at pick number 14, end up trading up for someone they really have their sights set on. Do they end up trading down? I know we haven't seen that really before in the Mickey Loomis regime in the first round of him making a move to gather more picks. But, man, I know we would like to see the Saints accumulate some more draft picks, whether it be another second rounder or a third rounder even.
So the good thing for the Saints is where they're picking, right? They're picking at 14. And if Brock Bowers falls to them at pick 14, I think it's an interesting spot, because I don't think he falls past the Colts at pick 15. So if someone in the late teens, whether that be, let's say, Cincinnati or Jacksonville, or maybe even further down the line in the early 20s,
right,
says, I really want Brock Bowers, they have to jump pick 15. And you know who's right one pick ahead of pick 15? The New Orleans Saints. So at that point, you're asking around, seeing what you could potentially get to move down in the draft. And it, even if you do move down, like, I think you only really do it if all those top guys are gone. Mike expects there to be kind of a run on the top tackles like Fuanga,
yeah,
and Fashanu and maybe Fautanu by that point. So if that's the case, you could potentially move down and still get a premier offensive lineman in the early 20s, whether that be, you know, Tyler Guyton. I think we'll go in that range from Oklahoma. Grant Barton's a name that's been popping up a bunch as well from Duke. So you could potentially trade down if someone wants to move up and take Brock Bowers. And that's if you yourself don't want Brock Bowers. Like, if you want him at 14, you could totally sell me on that. And then you got to take a tackle in the second round, though. That's, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah, it just seems like that is the pick of a tight end, like Brock Bowers, would be more of a luxury for this Saints squad right now than a necessity. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a weapon like him in the mix. But you look at first-round tight ends, they really haven't had the greatest success in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess so. I think it was, what was the stat, that David Njoku was like the only first-round tight end to re-sign with his team. I think Kyle Pitts is going to be, you know, up for that as well. But still, you don't have, and Mike has made this point, and I agree with him, there's no one on this roster like Brock Bowers. I know that you have a huge need at tackle.
Yeah.
But it's such a good tackle class then you could still probably get a good one in the second round. I mean, you could sell me either way, Steve. Like, I think there's no real wrong option. You could stay at 14. You could take a top tackle if he's there. If all those top tackles are gone, right? If, like, the top five guys are off the board, there's just, like, a huge run on them, you know, from the Titans pick, let's say, to, like, pick 13 with the Raiders. Like, that's where you can either take Brock Bowers if he falls there, or you can move back and just get a tackle with some better value late in the first round, kind of like in the 20s range, and you can accumulate those extra picks so that there isn't such a big gap from 45 to like 145 in the fifth round.
Are you someone that likes to do a lot of mock drafts or not really? Like yourself, you do.
I haven't done one yet.
Okay.
Like, I'm planning on doing one at some point, just because there's a couple of question marks that I keep like racking my brain over. Like, is Arizona the trade-up spot for J.J. McCarthy, or is L.A.? It makes sense for either one. Once again, we mentioned with the L.A. Chargers that if they trade back from 5 and go to 11 and 23, they can still get a premier offensive tackle. It doesn't have to be Joe Alt. Joe Alt will be gone by then. And they can still get a really solid receiver. Once again, not Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, but this is such a strong receiver class that it makes sense for them. Meanwhile, if you're Arizona, you have all these roster needs. So move back from pick 4 to pick 11, and you have pick 23, and you have pick 27 in this class as well. So that is three top 27 picks. That's hard to say no to as well, Steve, if you're trying to rebuild a roster. So either one of those spots makes so much sense. And whichever team does, in fact, trade up or down for that pick, like, that changes everything with how the rest of the top half of the first round basically plays out.
We hear the music, so I'm going to step away, take a break, be right back, closing things out right here on Sports Talk, getting ready for tomorrow's show. We'll tell you what's going on after this on WWL. Be sure you tune in for tomorrow's show. WWL Sports Talk will have SEC Network baseball analyst Todd Walker stopping by at 4:20. Can LSU turn things around in the second half of conference play? I remember when we spoke to him, man, early on in the season, he was all about them Tigers.
I love Todd. He gives great analysis. He was obviously very high on them. You know, they were the number two team in the country at one point. And obviously conference play hasn't gone their way. But circling back around to it, Steve, there's still 5 weeks left. A lot of baseball left to be played. That's the kind of route that Jay Johnson's taken. They have a lot of wins to pick up in these final 5 weeks, and we'll see if they can do it.
Also on the show will be Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel. Joins us all the time at 5:20 on Thursdays. Also, NFL draft analyst Joe DeLeon on what the Saints could do with pick number 14. We are just 8 days away from the draft right now. Definitely looking forward to the event. It's like a Christmas almost, because obviously you're getting new gifts under the tree with these players coming in. And man, oh man, excited to see what the Saints do. Hoping they can end up accumulating more ammunition in this draft to get some more young talent in. Curious to see if there'll be any big draft day moves. I can't recall of recent years any major huge trades happening the day of the draft with, you know, big time players moving and picks moving. But I know a lot of talk have been around a guy like a Marshawn Lattimore with this team. Will he still be around next year?
You're talking about like the Saints making a big time splash move.
Yeah, say they're like, all right, we'll
like
package
year,
whatever and
I
try
think
to
what
move
the
up.
Texans did was pretty crazy, like moving and getting two top three picks and securing their quarterback of the future and their defensive face of the future with Will Anderson Jr. and CJ Stroud. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think Jeff kind of made a good point that he doesn't expect the Saints to take 9 rookies. Like, they have 9 picks right now. But you kind of see them potentially trading up if they don't trade back from pick 14 to accumulate more picks, that they could potentially move up with some of those fifth rounders that they have to get into the fourth round.
I was
going to
say those compensatory fifths seem like they're destined to be packaged somewhere.
Exactly. Once again, I'm not sure that the Saints necessarily pick 9 players. I kind of agree with that point.
No, to that point is the fact that there really isn't 9 roster spots available on this team for you to draft. So you're going to end up taking talent that somebody else is going to end up with.
Right, exactly. So you're either trading out of those picks and probably getting some future picks for it, or you're packaging them to move up to get a third rounder or a fourth rounder. We'll just have to see what they end up doing. It's hard to think that there's going to be that big of a gap for this team. Based off of what Mickey Loomis had said, that it's a really deep draft class, that they're going to just stay pat at 45 and wait basically 100 picks until they pick again.
We got to wait till Friday for Pelicans action again. They'll be hosting the Sacramento Kings in a now a single elimination do or die play-in tournament game. Can they get that win and get into the postseason? We shall see. In action right now, the Miami Heat have a 65-61 lead in Philadelphia. There is 2:24 left in the third there. Also, after that game will be Atlanta at Chicago, another play-in matchup on ESPN. For Steve Geller and Charlie Long, have a great night, everybody. Be talking to you tomorrow. More Saints and Draft Talk. Plus, can LSU bounce back this weekend? We'll be back after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.